Well, as Mike West prayed in his prayer for the offering, we're coming up on 4 years of being a church. Actually, this September will be 4 years, but we are here at a place of looking and seeing what God has done with our church. And it's so important for us to recognize from the very beginning that we at Reverence Bible Church, we as members of one body, are totally and completely dependent upon Christ. It's not a program that has been set up. It's not the wisdom of men that has caused Reverence Bible Church to be here and for you to be a part of it and for His name to be glorified. We're totally dependent upon Him. We can't do anything apart from Him. The health of our church, the fruit that comes forward from our church, your lives individually and the spiritual life that is there is dependent totally and completely upon Christ. And so it is absolutely essential that we as the body of Christ pray for one another. Showing our dependence and looking and saying we need to be ministering to one another and looking and seeing our church and saying, God, it's all yours. And just saying, here, we give it all to you. We need to pray that you would accomplish your purposes. As I thought about these things, I looked at the different epistles that Paul wrote. And in four different passages that I picked out, I picked four passages in which you see Paul praying for the church or the contents of his prayer for the church. Because a lot of times we look and we say, yeah, we should pray for our church. And the prayer may go forward of God bless the church and help everybody to be healthy and just minister to them. And it may be a very passionate prayer. But I want to look and say, what are the things that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write down with regards to the prayers that would be there for the church? Tasha and I spent time last night going through these 18 particular points and just taking turns praying for Reverence Bible Church with this as our outline, looking and saying, these are things that Paul prayed for the church of Philippi or the church of Ephesus or the believers there from the book of Colossians. And looking and saying, here's how he prayed, and these are things that should spur our minds to say, we want to pray for these same things, praying for these things for our particular church. And so I want to look at this and encourage you to take this home and even on a regular basis, look at this and say, here's some great things as far as ways that we could pray for our church, to pray for one another. And I'm sure that there's a number of things, even as we go through this, that you could clearly add on to this list. But this at least gives us a good start as far as ways that we could pray for one another. Let's look in our first passage here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We look here in the contents of Paul's prayer, and he begins by saying, pray that our love abounds for one another. That our love for one another would abound. What an incredible thing to pray for as far as looking at our church. Thinking of the members of our church and saying, God, help us to be in a place where the love that is there would abound. It would just pour forth. It would be abundant. In 1 Peter 1:22, we're called to love one another with fervent love. Fervency doesn't come from a requirement of the law, but from a work of Christ in our hearts that gives us a joyful, heartfelt love for one another. The kind of love that's not half-hearted or lukewarm, but the kind of love that is exerting everything inside of us for one another. fervent prayers, fervent love for one another. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, he says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all." And so we look and we say, how can we grow in love for one another? And the answer is pray. Pray that God would do that in our hearts. Pray that God would cause us to look at one another and say, Lord, I love them. I love them as if I were them and how I would want people to love me. I love them. God, give me more and more of a love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that our love for one another would flow continuously. Like you picture the water coming over in Niagara Falls and it's just abundant. It's abounding. It's continuous. Pray that we would look at one another and desire to use our gifts to minister to each other. That we would look at and not see each other as, okay, I'm just part of this church. I come in, I listen, and then I go and do my thing. But we look and we say, no, He's gifted us with certain gifts as we've been looking at in the book of 1 Corinthians and saying, I have a gift. I need to use this gift for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that we would have a place on our hearts to pray for each other the same way that we would want to be prayed for ourselves. That our love for each other would make us quick to forgive. That it would make us slow to anger. That we'd be patient and kind with one another. I think of towards the end of this book in Philippians where Paul's looking at this church and he sees that there's these two women that are at odds with each other. And he says, I pray that they'd be of one spirit. And he's looking at this church and saying, I'm praying that your love would abound. It's possible for relationships to be there as we're a small church and people know each other to where it could be that you're at odds with people. Our prayer would be that not so at our church. That our love would abound for one another to where we would be patient and we'd be kind, we'd be long-suffering, we wouldn't keep a record of wrongs, but we would look and say, no, I want to have it be where my love is just abounding to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that our love for one another would make us call someone and say, let's go out to coffee and just spend some time talking. And fellowship rather than being by ourselves watching TV at home. Where you're thinking of what's going on throughout your week and it's like, well, maybe we should invite a family over and get to know them a little bit better. Because it's so easy to be in a place where we are in that state of being comfortable. It's possible for us to go about our lives and live in a way where we don't let anybody into our little inner circle, and at the same time, we don't go and enter into other people's lives and spend time with them and see where they're hurting, see where they need to be built up, and encourage them. I pray that that wouldn't be the case at our church, that we would grow and continue to abound in our love for one another. I pray that a year from now, you would love each other much more than you do right now. That would be our aim, that we would look at the members of our church and say, God, help me over this year to love the members of our church more than I do right now. That I'd get to know them, that I'd come outside of my comfort zone and do that, and that would be our aim. That we would look at each other and say, I know these people well, but there's some members of our church that I don't know as well, and where we grow and abound and our love for one another. You might look and say, that seems impossible. Nobody does that these days. Churches aren't like that these days. Then it is. It's impossible with us. But as we call out to God in prayer, saying, God, you do this. You accomplish this. That's possible. The Suppers of Eight is an incredible ministry because it brings people together in groups of eight, or as we had at the Schwartz house last week, 60-some people or whatever that was, 70-some. It was a huge number of people at their houses. All the people that were part of Suppers of Eight, for the most part, came together at the end and just celebrated together. But that's a way is this fall comes up, sign up for that. You don't have to host it at your home. You can if you would like. But where you just literally just get to know people. And for some of you, you may look and think, God, the last thing in the world I want to do is to go into a house with a group of people I don't know at all. What am I going to talk about? What if they ask me questions? And yet that's part of growing in our love for one another. Where you're able to come and say hi. You know, I think of the women that went on the women's retreat this last month. And some people maybe thought, oh, I don't want to go. I don't know that many people. Or what if I don't fit in? And yet you go and you build relationships. Men's retreat is coming up September 17th, 18th, 19th, I think. You have plenty of time. There's no excuse as far as not being able to schedule your trips around that. And look and say, I want to get to know the guys of our church better. Coming to the men's fellowship on Saturday morning or to the women's fellowship on Monday nights. And looking and saying, we want to grow in our love for one another. Abound in it. Looking and saying, maybe I could just give that person a call or send them a letter or send them an email. Spend some time just encouraging them in whatever way that we possibly can. I pray that we as a congregation would make it our aim from now until next year that we would grow in our love for one another. And that is, we look at 10 years from now that you would make it your aim to be a more loving person within the body of Christ at that point than what you are right now. Pray that God would do that within your heart. Abounding love makes us hold each other accountable. Where we look and we say, I want to encourage them. Know what's going on in their life to where I can hold them accountable. Even to the point of us as a church performing church discipline when necessary if someone refuses to repent of their sin. Someone might look at that and say, that's just meddling. Why would you get involved in our lives? Because real love would look and say, we're not going to just turn the other way and pretend like that's not there. If it's something that's having a huge impact on your life and we come to you and plead with you based upon God's word to repent and you don't repent, then we need to take it to the next step of church discipline as far as the elders coming or more than one person coming and ministering to you, because it's so important that we love each other to that extent. Loving your child means that you discipline them when necessary. Tasha and I were talking about our little boy. There is no doubt in our minds that man is depraved. We didn't have to teach him that if I'm holding Tasha's hand, that he should have a problem with it because he's jealous that I'm holding her hand when she should be giving all her attention to him. It's this battle that's taken place over the last 3 days, and I'm like, what's up? She's my wife, kid. She's crying and pushing my hand away like, what are you thinking? She's mine. We didn't have a seminar. We didn't have to teach him what jealousy was. Discipline is necessary at times. And holding each other is accountable for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a way to show each other the love of Christ. Abounding love means that we make disciples. We encourage each other from the promises of God's word. Listen to the way Paul speaks to the church when he's looking at this particular church in verse 22. He says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. He's looking at this church and saying, I desire so much to depart and to be with Christ. It's going to come a point where I die. And I look, and if I had to choose between the two, oh, I can't wait to depart and just to be with Christ. But I love this church so much that I think it's more needful for me to be here right now to be able to minister to the church. He looks forward to a place where there's no more sin, no more temptation, no more pain, no more beatings or being left out at sea or being imprisoned. as he was experiencing. And yet he's looking at the church saying, I love them so much. I don't know what I would pick. I think it's more needful for me to be here right now so I could minister to the body of Christ. God, help us all to think that way. Oh, I'd love to go to heaven, but I think it's so important for me to be a part of this particular body and that I would be ministering my gifts to them. I love them. I don't want to leave. I see a role that's there as far as me ministering to them. The next point here is pray that we would approve of the things that are excellent. Pray that for one another, that we would, as a congregation, approve of the things that are excellent. Approve of those things that we know are from God and from His perfect will for our lives. Those biblical truths that we know to be of sound doctrine. That we look and say, I pray that as a church, that the members of our church wouldn't hold tight to the things of this world, but they'd count them as rubbish in comparison to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That they'd approve of those things. Paul says in the book of Philippians, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. He's looking at his life and he's saying, I just want it to be where in my body Christ is magnified. Approving of those excellent things, saying, no matter what it takes, no matter what comes my way, if it's through life or if it's even through death, if it's even from being persecuted to the point where I become a martyr, whatever it takes, all I want is those things which are excellent, which will lead to Christ being magnified through my body, to Him being glorified. I pray that that's how we would be as a congregation, looking and saying, God, whatever it takes, whatever You desire, I just want You to be magnified. And that would be our passion. That we look at God's Word and say, these are the things I want to hold to. I don't want to be on one side of the fence some of the time, on the other side of the fence the rest of the time. I want to be totally and completely on fire for Christ and in love with Him with one single-minded passion, and that's to glorify Him. No matter what takes place in my life, what would happen to us as a congregation if God does that within us? Praying that we would be a people who desire to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And that's what we think about. That's what we care about. When we're in our workplace, to glorify Him. Amongst our families, to glorify Him. In our marriages, to glorify Him. As we fellowship with one another, to glorify Him. Thinking on all these things and saying, these are the things that we desire, His glory. For us to live as Christ. Paul also says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind, for the glory of God, for the building up of the church, for the furtherance of the gospel. The next point here in this prayer is that we would be sincere and without offense. Praying that for one another. Praying and looking at us as a church and saying, God, help us as a church to be sincere. Not full of hypocrisy, but sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. We read just a few verses earlier, four verses earlier, where Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we look and we say, we know that God who began the good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. At the same time, he calls us to pray and he prays for the church. God, help them to be sincere, to be without offense, that there be nothing that's found in us as far as moral failure or sin that disqualifies us for ministry or that brings reproach upon the name of Christ. We need prayer for one another in these things. looking and saying, Lord, help us. Help us to just be sincere where it's genuine, it's real, where it's not hypocritical in any way or fake in any way, but it's real. Our love for one another is real. Our relationships are real. That we are also above reproach and that in no way do we conduct ourselves in a way that would be that which would bring offense. And look and say, till the day of Christ, till He returns, may we be a church that is sincere and without offense. Pray that we would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Look at what it says here in this particular passage at the end here. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Where does our fruit of righteousness come from? It comes from Him. It comes from Christ. And so we pray, God, help us to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Filled with it. Pray for one another that we be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law, we're told in the book of Galatians. We recognize that it comes from Him. The fruit that's in our life, the fruit of righteousness, we need to pray, God, cause us to be filled with it. May You do it in our hearts. May You make it so that there's fruit abounding in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 9:10, it says, Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's the one that provides it, and we say, God, increase it. Make us as a church be filled with the fruits of righteousness. It all comes from Him. Christ says, Abide in Me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. John 15:4-5. And so we look at this and we say, we can't do anything apart from Him. So we pray for one another, looking and saying, God, cause us as a church to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Apart from You, we can do nothing. There's nothing good in us. There's nothing that we could do by our own abilities. And so we pray for one another. I hope that that would be the contents of our prayer for each other. We'd have love for one another, abounding. We would approve the things that are excellent, that we would be sincere and without offense, and that we as God's people would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Look at the next passage with me, Ephesians 1:16. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. And so we see a number of different things here. Pray that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of Him. Pray that God would give us wisdom, that we would learn to think biblically, that our knowledge of Christ would grow to a place where we're confident through God's Word that we're walking as Christ would call us to walk. This is so important for each one of us at Reverence Bible Church. We need wisdom that comes from above and wisdom that is sourced in the perfect revelation of God's Word. And so we look at this and we say, God, help us. Help us and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. How does that come? Being those that study God's Word. But it's also possible to study God's Word and have it be where it goes in one ear and out the other. God, help us to look at these things and have it have an impact on our lives. We have wisdom that's there. I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to do that as I preach. God's Word goes forward and it's possible for it to go in one ear and out the other. I know I've sat in sermons where I've walked out and someone said, man, that was the most incredible message. That just spoke to my heart in such an incredible way. And I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, wow, I was thinking about everything else during that sermon. I have no idea. I really have a hard time even saying what the guy talked about that whole time. I know that we're totally dependent upon God to do that work in our hearts. And so pray for each other that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be within us as we get to know him in the study of his word. Pray that that would happen. It's not by our own efforts. It's by God doing it. And we do need to pay attention. And I see some of you taking notes. And I know that others maybe even will take the CD home and listen to it again. Or you buy a book in the back that's a commentary on whatever it is that we're studying. And so you're studying that at the same time that I'm preaching through a particular passage. And you're growing in your knowledge of him. You're digging into different levels that maybe we don't have time to get to on Sunday morning. It's good and it's sweet. And you're growing in your wisdom. You're growing in your knowledge of him. But we as a church need to pray that that would be the case with us. That we would learn to think biblically. When we're thinking on things, it's just God's word comes into our mind. When we're trying to make decisions, the wisdom is there because we have seen it as far as what is it that Christ would call us to do. And you look at his life and you say, this is the thing that would be so consistent with the character of God and what he's called us to. Pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. It goes back to the same thing. Praying that God would be the one who enables us to see, opens up his word to us that we'd be able to understand. Dependent upon the Holy Spirit, that light would turn on so that we could see ourselves in a mirror, see our sin, see how God would desire for us to change, and that we would see the will of God for each one of us in our day-to-day lives. And so we look and we say, God, as I pray for our congregation, I want to pray that you would just cause all of our eyes to understand, to be enlightened by your word. Number 7, pray that we might know the hope of his calling. When Paul's praying for the church, he's saying, I pray that they would know the hope of God's calling on our lives. I think of this and think, God, help us to understand our salvation, the calling that's there. That we as a congregation would understand that our salvation is all of God. The hope of our calling is not sourced in our abilities or our merit, but it's sourced in him. We see that he chose us from the foundations of the world. He predestined us to salvation. Before he ever created the world, he's done this. We see that he's called us. Not because he found us to be deserving, but solely by his grace. We're saved by faith alone. We're saved by grace alone. We're saved by Christ alone. We're saved to the glory of God alone. We're secure in him because the Holy Spirit has been placed in our hearts as a guarantee. He's not only made us righteous, but we depend upon him to conform us into his image on a daily basis. Hope of our calling is not our own merit or our works, but it's in the finished work of Christ on the cross. I pray that we would understand what adoption means to us, what our redemption means, what it means to be predestined according to his sovereign grace. Pray that as a church we would understand the hope of God's calling on us and that we would respond with hearts that are eager to live for him. We talk a lot about our salvation and the fact that it comes by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. We spend a lot of time talking about that because we want us as a congregation to know the hope of our calling. How sad it is for someone that's sitting there saying, oh, man, I don't know, I sinned, I made a bad decision, have I lost my salvation? Or looking at their lives and constantly wanting to go up an aisle and say a prayer again because the life that they lived, they made mistakes, they sinned the previous week, and there's no security that is found in him. It's true that we're to make our calling and election, sure. But that's the point, is the Holy Spirit wants us to be sure of our calling, the hope that is there. I want us as a church to understand the glorious doctrines of grace and our salvation and where it comes from and what we're upheld by. Pray for one another in this. Look and say, I pray that we'd have a church that's so confident in the grace of God and their position in Him that they just live passionately for Christ because they see where their salvation has come from, who it is from, and respond by saying, I want to live for Him. Pray that we might know the riches of the glory of His inheritance, Paul says. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? We look at this and say, God, help us as a congregation to look and pray for one another that we would look and say, my inheritance is Christ. I get to spend eternity with Him, entering into the joy of the Lord. He's my Father. He is my bridegroom. I get to spend eternity in a place where there's no more sin, there's no more sadness, there's no more pain. All those things are removed. I get to spend eternity with Him, beholding Him in His glory, that we would look ahead and see that and say, it's coming so soon. Look forward to that. We understand it. We are excited about the glory of His inheritance. Pray for one another in this. Pray that we would understand the exceeding greatness of His power. What a thing to pray for the church. Pray that we would understand the exceeding greatness of the power of God. I pray for that for you on a regular basis. I want you to understand God's sovereignty. We spend a lot of time talking about the sovereignty of God, and Paul, as he's praying this prayer, says, I pray that they would understand the exceeding greatness of His power, a God that is so powerful that there's no one that can snatch us away from Him, so powerful that He truly can finish the work that He began in us, so powerful that He could cause us to be free from that particular sin. People that look and say, there's no way I can never give up this sin. It just has such a grip on my life that you would see the exceeding greatness of His power to the fact that, no, God can remove it. God could take a circumstance in your life that seems unbearable, a situation where you look and you say, how could this ever work for good? And God can fulfill the promise that He's given you, that He works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He could do that. I want us to understand the sovereignty of God. When we look at the world and we look at all that's taking place in the world and there's the possibility to fear and there's the possibility to worry, that you would have a gigantic view of God that brings you to the place of, I just trust Him. I trust Him. When you're looking at your kids and you're saying, I want them to return into a relationship with Christ. We could pray and know that we serve a God who is all-powerful and He could change hearts. When you're looking at your marriage and saying, how could it ever be restored? You look and you say, He's all-powerful. He could do it. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When we look and see, how could the pain go away? How's that ever going to happen? To look and say, I trust Him. He could either enable me to go through this pain or He can remove it, but He can work all things for His glory, and I will come to a place of, I know the exceeding greatness of His power. How important is that for us? Not having a small view of God, but a gigantic view of God that looks and says, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground apart from His will. Not a bird, not one bird that falls to the ground apart from His will. He knows all things. He does whatsoever He desires to do, whatsoever pleases Him. There's no one that can stop Him. There's no one that can say, what are you doing? There's no one that can thwart His sovereign will that He has decreed. And we look at that and say, God, we as God's people need to understand the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us. The next prayer says this, for this reason I bow my knees, in Ephesians 3:14, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul's praying for the church, and he's saying, pray that they would be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Pray for that for one another. Look at it saying, God, help these people to be strengthened in the might that would come from the Holy Spirit. For those that are going through school right now, in finals right now, pray, God, help them to be strengthened. For those that have lost a loved one or are hurting, God, help them to be strengthened with might through your Spirit. Through someone who's struggling with sin, God, help them to be strengthened with your Spirit. You need to strengthen them. I'm praying for them because I know that they need your help in all of these things. Pray for one another. Praying for leaders within the youth ministry that are ministering to your kids. God, help them to be strengthened, that they would be able to minister properly, that they would have the energy to be able to do that. As Scott Waller's finishing up his dissertation, I'm sure that he would covet our prayers, that we would be praying for him. God, help him to finish it and do it in a way that would glorify you. That we as God's people would look and say, God, help us. Strengthen us. That we might be able to comprehend the love of Christ. Pray for that for one another. That we as God's people would be able to look and see what you tell us in your word with reference to the love of Christ. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray that for us as a congregation, we'd understand the love of God. Comprehend it to where we look and we say, it's not like man's love. It's not conditional. It's not based on whether or not we are deserving of that love. It's totally by his sovereign grace. It's a love that cannot be improved upon. There's nothing that you could ever do that makes it so that God looks and says, well, I love you more today than I did yesterday because you did this. That's not how the love of God works. There's no way to measure the height or the depth of the love of Christ for us. Pray for one another that we'd be able to comprehend that love. Goes on and says, pray that we'd be filled with the fullness of God. We pray for one another. God, help us to be filled with the fullness of him. Satisfied in him. Finding ourselves in a place where he is sufficient for everything that we need. You know, when you're in that place where you're saying, well, the job has not worked out properly, or I'm hurting so bad because of this situation in my life. Finances are difficult. Disease has set in. I pray that for us as a congregation, whether those are our circumstances or something totally different, we would find ourselves filled with the fullness of God, satisfied in him. As you're satisfied in him, you're able to see that you're able to be that channel of pouring out the glories of Christ to one another because you're satisfied in him. You're not sitting there saying, there's just so many things that I need. There's so many things that I don't have. There's so many things that are missing in my life. You're saying, he satisfies me alone. You can take everything else away and I'm satisfied with just him. I pray that that's where we would be as a congregation. And the last prayer here is we find is in Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And we see a few more things here to be praying for each other with. praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will. What school do we go to? God, give that person just wisdom as far as where they are to go. And we've been praying for that for the young people here at our church. And it's just so neat to be able to see God change things perfectly in His timing. Praying for Rebecca Murillo. Where is she going to go to school? And hearing this morning, she had told me before that she was going to go to the University of San Francisco. And then this morning I heard from Jeanette, her mom. No, she decided to go to Santa Clara instead. But just looking, and it's not just by chance that these things happen, but looking and saying, no, God's in charge. He could take somebody and say, no, I'm moving you in this direction. Josh Wolf looking to see, where am I going to go to school next year? What's going to be most to the glory of God? And seeing God close certain doors of schools that he probably would have been really excited to go to. And then waiting to hear from the different schools, then all of a sudden he hears that he's been accepted to George Washington University. Not only that, with an incredible scholarship provided for him. And you think of that, you think, that's where God wanted him to go. And provided the means for him to be able to go there. And you look and you say, praise God. God, you're going to send him there, and he's going to be a light on that campus. And he's going to bring glory and honor to your name there. He's going to be built up and strengthened to the point where you are preparing him for all that he is going to do for your glory throughout his life. And so we pray, God, send him to the right place. Marky Gleason going to Long Beach State. I wanted her so badly to get into USC and to play for them in soccer. Michelle, her sister, went to UCLA. And there's this moral dilemma. I said, Michelle, what if Marky goes to USC, is playing in the championship game against UCLA? Who do you root for? And Michelle says, I would root for my sister, but I would want UCLA to win. But it's this moral dilemma, and she says, I cannot think that way. Don't put me in that situation. It's not going to happen. God would never do that to me, to make me choose between my sister and UCLA. So to keep Michelle from sin, God caused Marky to go to Long Beach and to play soccer there. Who were to marry? Major decisions. Where were to live? What job were to take? And looking and saying, God, cause our congregation to be filled with the knowledge of your will. In those aspects of life, but also in daily living, what are we called to? What are we called to do? Pray that we might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. What a prayer for each other. Help each other. God, help us to walk worthy of you, to be pleasing you in our lives. I don't want to see the young lady date an unbeliever and find herself in a place where she's strange so far away. I don't want to see it be where someone's fallen into sin and coming to a place where their family's being hurt or their spouse is being hurt or coming to a place where it affects Christ's name and reproach being brought upon him. Pray for one another, we'd walk worthy of him, pleasing him, fully pleasing him. Pray that we might be fruitful in every good work. You do good works and you go out there and you live your life, but the fruit is dependent upon him. And so we pray, God, help it to be where there's much fruit that comes out of the members of our church, that you cause that to happen. We're fruitful in every good work. Met with Trevor Wright on Friday and just talked about different things that were possibilities as far as him saying, you know, he was talking with Sean Kelly saying, we just want to be doing something. Talk about it. We need to do it. And we talked about putting together like a little bag full of maybe some books or some different information, some tracks, and being able to go just door to door throughout this community and telling people like, hey, can we give you some information on our church and invite you to come? The Mormons do it all the time. I was with Tom Iman, and he called me to help plant some plants in his yard. I don't know. He just thought, Asian guy, he should be able to do it. And so I'm helping him, and just kidding, Tom. But we're there working the yard, and two Mormon guys come up with their suits on saying, can we help you with that? And we said, yeah, take over. No, we didn't. We just started talking with them. But how awesome would it be if some of the young people of our church are just walking around seeing someone do yard work? Hey, can we help you with that? Just like to help you. Get some information for our church. You know, and just ministering the love of Christ to them. But looking and saying, God, you bring in the fruit. We want to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. But we look and we say, God, you cause the good work to be fruitful. Pray that we might increase in our knowledge of him. It's so important that we not only know God's word, but we know him. I pray that for us as a congregation, that we would know him. We'd read God's word and know him, fall in love with him, and find ourselves in a place where, gosh, we worship him in spirit and truth because we know him. I pray that we would know him. I encourage you to study God's word, go through and read it in a way of how does this chapter help me to know him better and to love him more, and read God's word that way. There's books that are back there on the book table, and they are designed to encourage you in your faith. A lot of them designed specifically to cause you to know him better. Books that we've read, that we trusted, that we think these would be good for our congregation as far as building them up in their faith. But we as God's people need to pray for one another. God, help us to know you better. See, if we know him, we will love him. It goes hand in hand. The more you know him, the more you love him. The more you worship him. The more that the things of this world grow strangely dim. The more you hate sin and desire to pursue righteousness and to please him, not because you're trying to earn favor with him, but just because you love him and you desire to please him. Pray that we would know him better. Pray that we might have patience and long-suffering with joy. Pray for one another as they're going through a trial, that there would be patience as there, that we as God's people would be known as those who are patient and long-suffering, but at the same time that there is this unexpected joy that's there because we trust him. God can put that joy in our hearts, even in the midst of difficulty, but we look and we say, God's called us to pray for one another in these areas. And then pray a prayer of thanksgiving. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Give thanks. Come to him in prayer and say, we are so thankful. We're thankful for what you've done. We're thankful for what you're doing. We're thankful for what you're going to be accomplishing. But looking and saying, God, we're so thankful. We're just thankful. We're thankful for what you've done. I encourage you to pray for our church. Pray for us. Pray that we would see people who might be lonely and minister to them. Pray that every member here would see themselves as critical, vital parts of the body and using their gifts for one another and for God's glory, for the building up of the saints. We want to be a healthy church. We want to be a church that has an impact on our community. We want to be a church that goes to the uttermost parts of the world proclaiming the good news of the gospel. A church that's alive, that's not satisfied to just be here, but looks and says, no, we want to proclaim the good news. And be lights for God's glory. We're dependent upon him. Pray for one another. Pray for our church. Pray for this upcoming year in our church. Use this as a guide, and let's just see what God does in our church. He's all-powerful. He can do all things. He accomplishes purposes. We can do nothing apart from him. Find yourself on your knees, interceding for one another, and saying, God, you accomplish these things in the hearts of your people. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for your word, teaching us areas that we could be praying for one another. And I pray that these things would be occurring in our church, that we'd be abounding in love for one another, approving the things that are excellent, sincere, and without offense. We'd be filled with fruits of righteousness. We'd have wisdom. That you'd make our eyes see, be enlightened, that we would know the hope of our calling, this great salvation which you've blessed us with. We'd find ourselves resting in your grace, that we would know the riches of the glory of the inheritance that you've given us. We think upon that and be excited as far as eternity with you, that we would understand your sovereignty, the exceeding greatness of your power. We as God's people would understand that and rest in you and have great thoughts about you. That you would strengthen us, inner man, by your Spirit. That you'd help us to comprehend your love. That you might cause us to be filled and satisfied with you, the fullness of God. God, help us to be filled with the knowledge of your will in accordance with Scripture. Help us to walk worthy of the Lord. That we as members of this church be fully pleasing unto you. God, we depend upon you to cause anything that we do to be fruitful. Pray that you would cause us to increase in our knowledge of you. Reveal yourself to us each Sunday morning. Help us to read your word and get to know you, to read other books and find ourselves just growing in our knowledge of you and finding ourselves having a gigantic view of who you are. I pray that you'd give us patience and long-suffering with joy at the same time. And we as your people come to you this morning and say, we are so thankful. We're thankful for grace. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for one another at this church. We're thankful that you have revealed yourself to us. And I pray, Lord, that that thanks would be revealed as we proclaim praises to you now. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.